In the name of Jesus. Amen. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So Matthew ends his account of this very odd incident, the transfiguration of our Savior, where the disciples get to see Jesus in a way they've never seen him before, and they're really given a glimpse into another dimension. May the Lord bless the speaking hearing of his word this morning. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, and there he is changed, transfigured before them for a brief amount of time. His face shines like the sun. His clothing becomes dazzling white. They see Jesus in a way they had never seen him before. Add to that, Moses and Elijah show up there talking with Jesus. Moses, the one that God used to give us the Ten Commandments. Elijah, the premier prophet of the Old Testament who was carried off to heaven in a fiery chariot. They're there talking with Jesus. Add to that, all of a sudden a cloud descends upon them, covers them, and the disciples hear the voice of God. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the disciples fall down terrified. Terrified. Jesus goes to them, puts his hand on them, tells them to get up and not to be afraid. And when they look up, they see no one but Jesus only. Jesus and Jesus only. The heart and center of the Christian faith. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that he would have nothing known among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus said about himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in the book of Acts, we are told that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus and Jesus only. God scares people. God scares people. And that's why when the disciples heard the voice of God, they were scared. People are scared of God because of sin. Sin makes us ashamed and feel bad and feel guilty, and it makes people afraid of God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve hid themselves after they disobeyed God's command because they were afraid of God. Moses, because of his sin, when God spoke to him out of the burning bush, covered his face. The disciples here, they're not afraid when Jesus, you know, his appearance changes. They're not afraid when they see Moses and Elijah. They're afraid when they hear the voice of God. God scares people. His word frightens us because we are not the people that we should be. We have done things that God would have us not do. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." And then to top all that off, Jesus says these words, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And right away that puts us on the defensive. That's like when you're driving and you see a patrol car in your rearview window. You automatically slow down, even if you weren't speeding. You just automatically get defensive. Jesus says, "Be perfect," and we try to figure out, that's not what he meant. He must have meant, "Oh, try hard." He must have meant, "Do the best you can," and we try to weasel around it. But there's no getting around it. Jesus says what he says, and his word stands, and it traps us, and it condemns us, and it does what it does. When you feel guilty and ashamed over something you've said or done, it's because you should feel guilty and ashamed about something you've said or done. The law of God, it's doing its work. Your conscience is doing its job. That's what it's there for. telling yourself it's not that big of a deal, or that you know other people that are worse, or somehow you're going to, you know, cover it up and make it better. It never works. Sometimes we just, you know, we try to ignore it. That doesn't work either. What's the answer? Jesus, and Jesus only. The name Jesus means Savior. Now, what does the Savior do? He saves. And he saves people who need saving. Jesus reaches out to those three frightened disciples and tells them not to be afraid. He has come to save them. God sent his Son to the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, John writes, God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And then these wonderful words from Paul to the Roman Christians. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we haven't done bad things. It doesn't mean that the guilt and shame is not there. It means that it's been atoned for. God doesn't hold it against us. Not because we've tried hard or we've tried to be really good. No, but because Jesus shed his blood for that. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus and Jesus only. God desires that you hear that word and believe it. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. God has done that for you in Jesus, and God wants you to hear that. God tells the disciples, listen to Jesus. What keeps you from listening to Jesus? Or maybe we could better ask, how could you listen to Jesus better? We are entering the season of Lent, 40 days long, 6 weeks, not a long period of time. But it's a good time to set some goals. Now you have perhaps friends or colleagues say, well, yeah, for Lent I'm going to give up chocolate, or I'm going to stop doing this or that. And those things might be helpful, but I don't know that they will actually help them to listen to Jesus better. What can you do to listen better to Jesus this Lent? Well, one of the things that you can do is doing what you're doing right now. Go to church. Go to church, hear the word of the Lord. You're in church this morning? Good job. Jesus is here and his word is here and he's working through that word, and we give thanks for that word. We have extra worship services during Lent on Wednesdays at noon. If you're available, come and join us. It's not a long service, but come and join us if you're available. Go to church. What else? What practically can you do to better listen to Jesus? Read your Bible. Christians are people of the book. Every day we should be in God's Word. You could say, I'm going to make it a goal over the 40 days of Lent to read through the New Testament. Very doable. That sounds like too much. Well, then just read through one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If you want something a little more meaty that you can dive into, read the book of Romans and take notes. Take your time working through it. You'll be blessed by that. And as you spend time in God's Word, what are you doing? You're listening to Jesus. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If your phone keeps you from listening to Jesus because you're on it all the time, use your phone to help you to listen to Jesus. If you're checking your phone first thing in the morning, let that phone first thing in the morning have a devotion on there. You can read the Bible on your phone. You can listen on your phone. There's all kinds of Bible apps out there. But use your phone that sometimes gets in the way of us listening to Jesus. Use it to let you help listen to his word. Go to church, listen to his word, be in his word. Jesus and Jesus only. Pray. You could make it a goal for the 6 weeks of Lent. I'm going to begin each day with the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to end each day with the Lord's Prayer. Very simple. If you want to do more than that, we have Portals of Prayer devotionals in the back. And let God use prayer to draw you closer to him as you spend time in his word and prayer. As you struggle with your sin, if there's a particular sin you're working with, name that sin. Name it, write it down, repent of it, and deal with it. And then ask Jesus to help you with that. And then let his word, shine his light on that sin. And you'll be amazed at how he has the power to do that. And all of that is because he desires to bless you through that. Be intentional. Be on purpose. Jesus and Jesus only is the foundation of our faith. Peter writes these words. You've heard them once this morning, but I say them to you again. Peter writes, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." There's plenty of darkness. It's not hard to find. There's plenty of darkness in our community of Streeter. And you don't chase that darkness away by saying, "Oh, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to do better." You chase the darkness away by letting the light of Jesus shine upon it. And he does. And it works. And our Lord's word does what it says it will do. Jesus is Lord. And he's Lord over all things. He invites us to himself. And he invites you to hear his word, to believe it, and to be assured that you are loved and forgiven in Christ. And that light of his word continues to shine, even in the darkness. The word of the Lord never fails. And not only does it never fail, but it will guide and keep you all the days of your life. Jesus and Jesus only. To him be glory and honor. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.